Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. If you're joining us on Phil TV and HD, if you're one of our Backstage Pass subscribers, I clicked over here on our camera, on our internet camera. I clicked over through our home movies because we've been talking about sports and baseball. And then during the break, I was looking at some old baseball clips, and I said, geez, you know, on our home movies, my dad took home movies of a Dodger game he took me and my brother to at the Coliseum. And
no, you're talking the L.A. Coliseum. They had baseball there?
Yeah, that's where the Dodgers played when they first got to town. And I was going to show it to Dan, but I haven't. But what's on here now is kind of a curious thing. I can show it to you guys that are at home watching. That's me beating a drum, leading a parade of kids.
Beating a what?
A drum, okay?
He said drum.
Leading a parade of kids. It's my fourth birthday party. And I've got a hat, and I've got a drum, and there's a parade of kids behind me. And I asked my dad, you know, I asked my dad later, because apparently this was his idea, you know. I said, why was I beating that drum? He goes, you know, because you know how your dad and your mom, it all makes sense to them. He's, well, it was your fourth birthday, you know, you're beating it. Hey, it's my birthday. You know, you're announcing it to the world. Oh, okay. I don't know.
But that's the goofiest thing I ever heard.
Well, it was my dad's idea, you know.
Well, so you're beating on your, I didn't hear it. You're beating your what?
The drum, Margaret.
I don't know. I don't know what kind of family you are. I know your parents are good people, but I don't know what...
It was a drum. And so anyway, this is our home movies. If you have a Backstage Pass to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show website, you can see these are very, very special memories of my family. And you, my BSPs, are treated to these family memories.
Yeah, but you're, you know, beating a drum.
It's just the term. That's all that we object to.
You know, you guys have got the filthiest minds.
I do. You're the one, Phil, every night you pull your brain out of a Petri dish that in it somebody went.
What are you laughing about?
I'm not laughing.
So it's my fault. I didn't say anything other than these are my home movies of my family, and you guys are all worried because I'm beating a drum, and that may send the wrong that may send the wrong message.
Well, you're laughing.
Well, because it's absurd. It's absurd. So, yeah, if you get our back, see, there's my sister Joanne. That's Lake Arrowhead. It was freezing cold. And, oh, yeah, there's all kinds of stuff there. Look at that two-tone Cadillac. That was my dad's.
Mr. Henry, people can't see this on a radio.
You're right. All right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. On the line with me is Professor Emery Clayton. We also have... Now, what happened, bud?
I was not able to get Professor Ken or Professor Clayton. Are you there?
I am here, bud. You said you were not able to get Professor Clayton. Obviously, I'm here.
No, I didn't mean Professor Clayton. I meant I was not able to get Professor Kendall.
You were not able to get our speech professor from L.A. Canyon. Professor Kendall told me, he assured me, that he'd be in his office tonight.
Well, I wasn't able to do it, but I did get Warren Benman, who could be on it.
Warren Benman, what's he got to do with speech?
He assures me, and he assures me even more, that he does.
I don't care what he assures you of.
Well, look, Phil, it's worth a shot. I don't know who this man Benman is, but I think it's worth a shot.
Let me just get him on here. Yeah, Warren? Yeah, you're going to be on with Professor Emery Clayton, and another guy is Phil, and the other guy is Phil Henry, but you've talked to him. Yeah, okay.
Okay, Warren, do you know about speech?
Mr. Herrick, good. What, is this some kind of a gag here? No, I just want to tell Professor Clayton I got to be the speech therapy.
Yeah, see, he had speech therapy on account he fell off that girder and hit his head all the way down.
I'm going to say Emerald Wheeler, the horn player. Did I hear somebody mention my wife?
Hold on. Everybody, just hold on. All right, Warren, do you know anything about speech?
I did, but I had speech therapy.
I know you've had speech therapy, okay?
Oh, this is some kind of a gag, Henry. Let me tell you something, Henry. You're wasting my time. If this is some kind of a gag, I can assure you I'll be on the phone to my attorney.
Hold on for a minute. No, it's not a... I didn't pull this gag, okay?
I ain't pulling no gag neither. Tell him, Warren.
Yeah, I had speech therapy one time. All right, listen. Well, Mr. Benman, is that it?
Yes, my name's poor Benman.
All right, Mr. Benman. If you've had speech therapy, how come you sound like you've got your finger shoved in a wall socket?
Because it fell off a girder.
You fell off a girder. Well, there's no harm in falling off a girder. You could fall off a girder and land on a marshmallow. Fall off a girder and land on a fat lady's belly. Sounds to me like you... Ah, forget it. Let me have the phone here. I can handle this. Dean Wheeler, Phil.
Dean, how you doing?
Well, I was doing fine. My wife is on stage doing her second set. I'm enduring this horn player, and I'm hearing a TV set.
I'm sorry, Mr. Wheeler. That's my TV.
My name is not Mr. Wheeler. It's Mr. Wheeler. I know that you have a speech problem. Where does this speech problem emanate from?
What's that?
Where does your speech problem emanate from?
What do you mean, emanate?
Where did it start? Where did it,
Well, I fell off when I was changing a light bulb on Radio Tower. Then I fell down, my head hit on the car, got on the girder.
Oh.
Yeah, his head hit every girder on the way down.
Yeah, that was kind of what they said.
What do you mean it's what they said? Aren't you familiar with... Let me take this over, okay? If you're trying to tell me that this man knows something about speech there... All right, let me ask you something then, Mr. Benman, because what we're talking about here are the percussive and concussive sounds of Southerners who say the word boy, you know? Now, I'm black. I don't say it like that.
Well, yeah, because I say it a lot of times. You told me the boy.
You used to say it all the time. Is that right?
Yeah, but now if they hit the girder and I had speech there, don't say it.
You don't say boy after you hit a girder. Well, I'll tell you what. If that cures you of saying the word boy, I hope every white man listening to me right now fall off a broadcast tower and hit his head on a girder all the way down. I don't know. It sounds like a good... I'm a liberal, of course. I would endorse that. But I just don't know. I can't be sure. I can't be sure of anything.
Okay, Dean, why don't you go back and watch Emeralda, okay?
I think I will. Thank you very much. It seems far more preferable than being on your show tonight. I can tell
you. Generally, I just want to say that when I had a speech therapy, we had a guy who was my speech therapist, used the N-word all the time, and said, why don't you still get out of here?
He did what?
Bad name Kendall.
Now, you're not trying to tell me that Dr. Kendall, the eminent professor that works with me at L.A. Canyon College, was your speech therapist.
I sure was.
And he was telling, what did he say? You stove lids, get out of here.
Yeah, he was chasing the kids out of the thing.
So this guy Kendall's a racist?
Yeah, but it's damn good speech therapy.
Let me be the judge of that, man, because if you think it's damn good speech therapy, I can barely understand anything you're saying. I bet you were clear right after you fell off that thing and hit a girder. Now I can't understand you for love of money. And you're telling me that Kendall, by that dirty no good...
All right, now hold on. Warren, thank you very much. I didn't mean to bother you. I don't think you're really the guy to talk to.
I thought you'd get a pretty good job, Warren. That's good.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mr. Henry.
I mean, goodbye. Would you cut his line off, bud? You're always leaving people's lines open. Okay, so Professor Clayton, I apologize for that.
Well, that's all right, Henry, because I got to tell you something. I don't mean to say anything, but every time I'm on your program, you guys are pulling some gag. I understand the need for mirth. I understand the need for kicks. I need my kicks. I don't think there's a man out there don't need no kick. But I'll tell you something, I come on your program and you try to make a monkey out of me with all this Warren Benman, a guy hitting a girder and talking like he's got his, not just his finger, but every appendage, including...
You're pointing.
Of course I'm pointing. And I'll tell you what, put that in a wall socket, and friend, you're going to sound like about 1,600 different shades of Frankie Fontaine. I'm going to just simply say this. I've got to listen to this broad.
Do you mind keeping your voice down? You're talking really loudly.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot I was in a nightclub, Phil. I tried to black out this lady. I think she's a great singer, but the horn player is going to be the death of everyone in this club. But I say, Phil, you know, you've done your duty for God and country, but the whole thing blows ape. Thank you. I'm Emery Clayton.
Well,
that was very elucidating, wasn't it? Not.
No, it was not. I don't know what we proved there, other than Paula Deen. The only thing I got out of that, and we spent 15 minutes trying to figure it out, was that Paula Deen, because she's from the South, says the word boy in a more percussive way.
Yeah, because you're a boy.
Well, you what? Not in my ear, bud. God.
Man, how many times I got to tell you that? Sorry.
But we aren't really sure. All right, so the deposition will continue, the trial will continue, and the whole ding-dang thing will continue, and we'll figure out what's going on. Mara, we'll be right back at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here, and philhendryshow.com. But what else we got?
Candy Crush Saga. They consider going public.
Whatever. Candy Crush Saga. I only know this game because people keep asking me, do I want to play it on Facebook? Dumb and Dumber 2, by the way, is going forward. You remember the other night we were talking about how the whole thing stunk to high heaven? Well, guess what? No, it doesn't. And the Miami Heat repeat as NBA champions. All ahead here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, right now on Phil TV, we have the Phil Hendry Home Movies going. That's the Coliseum. That my father took that footage. You can see we're off of the third baseline, pretty high up. But there is an actual ball game at the Coliseum. And for those of you who remember the old days of the Coliseum when they had the clock, not a digital, but an actual analog clock there in the end zone, and what they call the peristyle end, where the torch was. But look at the expanse. And then they had what they called, in left field, they had the screen to avoid what were called moon shots, because Wally Moon was a hitter that mastered the art of popping that ball up in the air and hitting these home runs over the screen in left field, and they called them moon shots. I think this was the Cincinnati Reds. I can't remember. And pretty interesting, huh?
So that was isn't that charming? And now let me ask you, Phil, about the little Native American boy. You were saying...
Okay, that was a piece of footage that my dad shot. This was on a trip to... By the way, everything that we were looking at on Phil TV of the home movies, folks, these were images taken during a trip back to Toronto, Canada to see my family, to see my in-laws, to see my grandparents and my cousins, okay?
These are the same people you went and gotten seen the other time?
Yeah, 2 years ago when I went back to see my cousins, only they're now, you know, much, much older and married with kids and all this stuff. But back then, they were little kids. So we went back. This is the trip that I got into radio on. I was only five, but I would listen to the radio as my dad was driving overnight.
So this was the actual trip?
Yeah. If we hadn't gone back to Canada, I never would have been leaning on the back seat, listening to the radio and talking to my dad, and I would have been spared a lifetime of misery and...
Oh,
I'm kidding. Sort of. Just imagine if we'd taken a trip where there was a television. You know, that would have been so much. Anyway, so yeah, that was it. But there was, you're asking me about that Nebraska.
Yeah, it's like an Indian.
Looked like it was like a trading post. You know, like they had old days of trading post.
Yeah, see, they.
I'm going to do it, man. They had old days of a trading post. And you go in and trade, and the Indian will give you like a scalp or something.
That wouldn't give you a scalp. He would give you whatever Indians gave you. What did they have?
Well, they had corn and, you know.
Corn?
Yeah, corn. The Indian people, the native people in North America were masters at these crops that we hadn't even heard of as Europeans. So that was a trading post of some kind. Dan and I were just talking. He says, man, you don't see those places anymore.
Well, of course you don't, Phil, because we're an enlightened people.
Well, guess what? That was run by Native Americans. What do you mean enlightened?
Oh, that was on a... Oh, yeah, that was in a concentration camp.
Not a a reservation.
Well, what's the difference?
Oh, please. I don't want to get into some heavy conversation right now. The point is, it was a trading post that was operated by Native Americans. The highway ran by it. So we pulled off as good 1950s Americans would... you know, if you were in the 50s and your father wore, chinos and drove a convertible, he'd say, hey, look, there's an Indian trading post. And so, you know, my dad did that. And
and who was operating the camera? Your mother?
Yeah.
Was she wearing heels?
I don't know.
Was she in a skirt?
I don't know.
Well, I'm trying to figure out. I'm sure she was. That's the way women dressed in those days. Very elegant, very classy.
Yeah, well, they did. I mean, you would go down to the store, you'd be in a dress. But anyway...
What do you mean you'd be in a dress?
You didn't wear a dress.
Not me, my mother.
Oh, God, man. Are you people crazy?
Phil, let the record show. You said when you went to the store, you put on a dress.
You did, Mr. Henry. No, I didn't. When I went to the store, I put a dress. What, when I was six?
You said your sister dressed you up, and you let her. And that'll forever be on your record, man.
Oh, well, I just feel bad about that.
Well, it is something that people kind of get your goat over, isn't it?
I don't care. I don't give a damn.
You thought Bobby's sister dressed you up like a girl?
Yeah. I was a little tiny kid. What am I supposed to do?
You could have done something about it. You could have at least protested, but instead you went ahead and let her do it.
Oh, is that right? I'm 3 years old and I got my sisters dressing me up like a chick and putting lipstick on. What am I supposed to do?
You could have fought him.
Yeah, you could have swung on him or something.
Well, you know, there's a lot of guys that fight until they're just knocked out in prison.
What are you talking about?
I said there's guys that won't go down easy in prison.
This wasn't prison rape. These are my sisters dressing me up in a little hat with lipstick, and I'm three.
Still, Mr. Henry, there are guys that will be knocked out cold and even go to the hospital to fight off guys in the shower at prison.
Will you knock it off with the prison stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in any event, that was my my ute, and you can see it all there on philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. All right, where else are we going? Candy Crush Saga. I don't know, man. I Facebook is fun. We have our fan page, which, by the way, we're over there at facebook.com/PhilHenryFans, PHANS. The Candy Crush, what are you looking at him for?
No, we're just, nothing.
Yeah.
No. What's going on here, okay? We...
I wanted Bud to go to my car and get a pair of high heels.
And do what?
Why don't I see if you put them on so we can get a picture for the webpage?
No. No.
Well, it's a good idea.
No, it's not a good idea.
Phil, just for the webpage, say, oh, look at this. Here's Phil poking fun at his rather shaky beginnings. You know, he's in a fur and a skirt.
And what does that mean, my shaky beginnings?
Well, your identity, the identification of the orientation toward femaleism.
The identification of the orientation toward femaleism. You know, Bud, you are a monstrous moron, you know, because that's not even approaching what goes on in the real world.
Well, it's orientation, right?
Yes, which you have from birth.
Yeah, but you made a decision when you were three to dress up.
Are you trying to tell me that was me trying to be gay or something?
Well, I mean...
We don't know. We're kicking it around.
You know, Margaret, you know better, and I know you're putting these guys up to this bullcrap.
I've got better things to do, Phil.
No, don't act outraged. You know better than that. And what do you mean I made a choice at the age of three?
To dress up. You did make a choice.
When you're 3 years old, man, you got no choice. When your older brother and your older sister and whoever...
Oh, now your older brother. You're going to drag him into it.
No, I'm not. He didn't do anything. When your older sisters, you know what, I shouldn't even have to explain it. When your older sisters take you at the age of three and stick you in a lady's hat and put lipstick on you, you got nothing to say about it, friend. Let me tell you. Yeah, I know. There's guys that fight to the death in prison. All right, so Candy Crush Saga, the popular mobile game, could launch its King.com toward an IPO. Well, how about that? But as Zynga can attest, the risks are... plenty. King.com, the software developer behind the hit game Candy Crush Saga, is preparing for an initial public offering. Can't wait to see how this one goes. Bloomberg reports that King, a multinational company with offices in Europe and the U.S., is working with J.P. Morgan Chase & Company and Bank of America on the IPO. So this is a very, very popular game that's been kicking around Facebook for a long time. And guess what they're recommending? And I was just about to do it myself. Before you read anything about this Candy Crush Saga IPO, read about recommended reading, Facebook IPO.
Well, those guys, they mounted the pooch and didn't get off.
Yeah, they rode the dog.
Okay. Six key dates in the debacle of the Facebook IPO. The banks declined to comment to Bloomberg, but in a statement to the Wall Street Journal, a spokesman for King acknowledged the company was mulling the possibility. Nothing going to get that stock price going in the direction you want it to, sir, than by, Wall Street Journal saying, oh, and by the way, remember the Facebook IPO?
Well, then I don't think it's the same thing. Facebook tanked their initial public offering because they did not have a platform for the advertising.
Well.
The advertising.
All right, Margaret. God, what are you singing it?
The advertising.
I understand. We'll be right back with more of this scintillating, not really, story. And Dumb and Dumber 2 is moving forward despite the fact that it was pronounced almost dead, almost stillborn last week. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
We're still looking at some. That's my mother and father at we're looking at some home movies here, folks, on our website, philhendryshow.com. That's my mother and father at the University of Mexico. See that? That's a huge building there.
No kidding.
I know.
No, we know it's a building.
Yeah, I know, but I wanted to say that's a huge building. That tile mosaic at the University of Mexico is very famous. That's a very beautiful, and this is a bullfight.
My God, is that what I think it is?
That's a bullfight. Is that a real bullfight?
Yes, that's a bullfight.
And your father took moving pictures of the... That is abs... No, I won't watch it. Excuse me, where are the bounty towels?
In the bathroom.
I'm not watching this.
Well, what are you doing, Margaret?
I'm not...
Well, you're standing there staring at it.
There's something compelling about it because of the Toreador, yes. Oh, God.
Oh, you're all turned on by the Toreador.
No, I am not that much.
You're all turned on about it. Ow!
Yeah, I don't want to watch the poor bull getting... So, yeah, my old man was into that stuff. So, anyway, check it out, philhendryshow.com. Now, getting back to some of this folderol that we were talking about. Yeah, Dumb and Dumber. And wanted to talk with Doug Danger about Dumb and Dumber 2. It is moving forward. It's only 17 years after the fact, but now Dumb and Dumber 2 is not only semi-officially in the early stages of pre-production, but the sequel could also be Bobby and Peter Farley's next directorial effort. And in order to sort of sort through this a little bit and figure out, you know, what's what, who's who, and when's when, we want to bring on Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier to talk a little bit about this. Doug, I thought that this film had pretty much been passed on by Warner Brothers.
I did too, Phil, but apparently attaching the Farley Brothers' name to it has given it some life.
But I thought the Farleys were already attached to it.
Yeah, but I think what they did was they attached it more firmly. I think it was loosely attached. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. As you know, Phil, I want to let your audience know that I'm not just another film critic. I'm not just another guy that, you know, whatever some of these film critics that you see talking about movies. I'm the real deal. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Now,
What's that? We got to tell people that means.
What's that?
You got to tell people what that means.
I don't have to tell nobody nothing. Dickman, let me do what I'm doing.
All right, hold on. When you say you're a gay man and a gay journalist...
What that means is that I've come up a tough, long, hard road of discrimination, Phil. I came out of the closet 6 weeks ago, and since that time I've seen how people react to me and to the other gays in my community. So you can't lie to me. I read through all of that horse dung. And because I'm able to read through all the horse dung, I can properly appraise the story as a gay man and as a gay journalist. And I'm here to tell you that the Farley Brothers might have been attached to Dumb and Dumber 2, but they were not so firmly attached that Warner Brothers was saying, all right, well, let's go for it. I think they needed to get cinched in tighter, and Warner Brothers felt good about it, so they firmed it up.
How do you firm it up? Were they not just...
Well, they were in... They were under contract. There's no question about that.
So yeah. So if they're under contract, do you?
No, you just firm it up. You don't really. There's nothing more you need to do contractually. But I think you need to just have them in for, you know, some visits, drinks. I don't know. Have them to the house, something like that. I think maybe the Farleys demanded that. Maybe their agent demanded that. Maybe the head of the studio over there, who was ever in charge of developing this film, maybe they demanded that the Farleys be cinched in tighter.
But that doesn't mean anything about money. It's just have them over for drinks.
Just have them over for breakfast or something and make it something that is they can't say no. Because you can say, well, look, In some instances, I don't like to see this done, but I know it has been done. You were over at my house last Saturday morning, weren't you? Yeah. Well, I saw you peeking in my daughter's bedroom. And wait, what? How did?
Wait! They're blackmailing people?
No, they're not doing that.
I don't call it blackmail. I would never call it blackmail. I would just simply say you're cinched in tight. You're a member of the family. And
that's not being a member of the family. You were at my house last Saturday, and I saw you peeking in my daughter's bedroom. What's that supposed to mean?
It means, hey, you're boy, you sure are, you get around my house, don't you? So I guess you're going to be producing, you're going to be directing that movie, right? And
it's blackmail.
No, it's not blackmail, Phil. Look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Don't you think I'd recognize blackmail?
Well, in this instance, Doug, I don't think you're recognizing blackmail. If you say to a man, you were at my house last Saturday, I saw you peeking in my daughter's bedroom, you really get around my house, don't you?
Yeah.
You don't think that's blackmail?
You don't think that is blackmailing, man?
I would not call that blackmail so much as I would say, it's almost like a shotgun wedding. And you're saying, okay, now you were at my house, and I saw you open the bathroom door and look my wife, really give my wife a good look as she was climbing into a bathtub. And she was climbing into that bathtub very, very awkwardly, if you know what I mean.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
What does that mean, she was climbing into the bathtub awkwardly?
Well, I mean, if your wife or anyone you know gets into the bathtub in a really dumb, awkward, like they're lifting their leg up really high and they're sliding their butt down on the obviously you're going to get, it's going to be a better view than you would of someone who knows how to get into a bathtub like a normal human being and doesn't have, any kind of a motor sensory problem. So,
Oh, baby.
All right, Phil, I got better things to do than this bullcrap.
Oh, you know something, man.
Phil, they're your friends.
They're not my friends. They're my guests.
Yeah, but you found these people. Most sensitive people that I ever seen.
Yeah, every time you have one of them on, you make one joke or laugh at them, they're all like, oh, and they hang up and everything.
Yes, they do. And I think it's time to either fish or cut bait on this Danger. Danger is no good. He's no good, I'm telling you. Danger, I think he's played out.
What do you mean, played out?
He gets all upset. First of all, he thinks he's the greatest thing in the world, and he's still stuck at that lousy little newspaper. He thinks being gay and being a gay, he's talking about, we now live in a day and age, Phil, where gay marriage is becoming acceptable. People are slowly accepting. Doug doesn't have to run around beating his chest on this. His act is over. It's stale. Don't you agree, Bud Dickman?
I do, Miss Gray.
Robert?
Yeah, I gotta go with it.
And I make three. You're outvoted.
Oh, really? Because whose name is on the show?
Phil.
Whose name is on the show?
Phil Hendry.
Margaret?
Yes, Phil Hendry.
Okay. I make those calls.
You make those calls in concert with David G. Hall. We can get him on the phone.
We'll get him on the phone when I say, all right?
Aha. Uh-huh. So you don't want to talk to him because you're afraid he'll vote with us.
No, I don't want to talk to him because I don't want to hear him arguing with Daphne about how she needs another box of Crullers and she's jumping out of the car with it still moving at 40 miles an hour and we never do get to talk about what we want to talk about. So no, I don't want to talk to him right now.
You don't want to talk to... Don't look at me like that.
I'm going to look at you. I'm running this show. And as long as I'm running this show...
It's on your nose.
There's nothing wrong with my nose. I'm pointing to myself.
Get out of here.
So that's how it is, huh? Doug Danger's played out. Are you listening to this, Doug? Wow, man. That's a cold shot.
Well, I mean, think about it. The guy's all gay, gay. Okay, that's good. I don't have nothing against no gay. And
well, you used to.
So, I don't know more. And another thing, it's played out, man.
He's all in.
He's all in. I mean, what do you want me to do? You want me to just can his appearance on the show?
I think you have to tell him to tone it down, because if he keeps saying gay, everybody's just going...
They're just going to say, Phil, you're played out.
Will you knock it off with this played out thing? All right, well, I'm not firing Doug, so you just give that up, okay?
But, Mr. Hendry, you don't understand.
I said I'm not firing Doug, so forget it. I'll let him know what your concerns are. I don't think that there's anything wrong with it, you know, talking to him, but I certainly am not going to fire him. Ain't gonna happen. Now then, the Farley brothers revealed earlier this year that they were planning a proper Dumb and Dumber follow-up, unlike the widely despised 2003 sequel Dumb and Dumberer When Harry Met Lloyd, which the filmmakers were not actually involved with. How the much despised? Why would they say that?
Well, I think it's because the film did not have Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels. I think it's because the film was not funny. It was ill-conceived. It didn't have the Farley brothers. In other words, it was made for all the wrong reasons. And the people that greenlit it, I'm sure, are eating out of a soup can now.
I doubt that.
You doubt that. Well, whoever greenlit that turd in a punch bowl, I hope they are at least experiencing some discomfort. I don't know what that could be. Sitting on a nail gun. Hemorrhoids the size of a golf ball. Something.
All right. Sitting on a nail gun. Anyway, however, they've essentially been too preoccupied with their passion project, next year's Three Stooges movie, over the past several months to give a sequel much additional thought. Well, now, next year's Three Stooges, so in other words, there is, so there is another Three Stooges movie, or have you pulled up an article? This is from a year ago, you jackass.
Oh.
You clown.
Phil, you're always doing that.
I didn't do that. Bud did.
But yeah, but that's really good.
Why?
Because it gives you an idea that what you said last week is true, that it sucks, and they're not going to do it, and that's how they felt a year ago.
I don't know.
Well, just use it that way.
Yeah, well, 1 year ago, they really had high hopes for Dumb and Dumber 2, but guess what? It ain't going to happen because you heard us say last week that Warner Brothers, I think, is the producing studio, and they think the thing is a real piece of garbage, and they're not going to do it. But a year ago, they had high hopes. Next year's Three Stooges movie.
I didn't know.
Next time, take a look at the dates on these things.
Well, why is something that's a year old there?
I don't know. So we're going to, what do you got? Okay, so David Hall, you know, I try to keep him out of this thing. I'm telling you, man. I don't need him. Hey, David, I guess you got, I guess I'm roped into this.
Well, I think it's a good question, Phil. You know, I think Doug Danger is a very good addition to the show. I think he always has been. But I think Danger has been hyping that gay man, gay journalist, gay man, gay journalist. And now you've eroded your position even more by reading a story about Dumb and Dumber that's a year old and trying to foist it off on Dickman. So I think your position at this particular time is becoming compromised. And
wait a minute, man. There's no compromise of any position.
Well, did you not just read a story that was a year old about Dumb and Dumber, and now you're saying that this guy, that Dickman and this guy, what's his name, Margaret Gray...
What do you mean, guy? What's his name?
I'm sorry. The lady, Ms. Gray and Robert, are you saying that they're played out and you're not?
What is with the played out?
We saw Wyatt Earp last night.
Okay, good for you. I'm telling you that I do not believe that Doug... I'm asking you about this whole... My position has become compromised.
Well, you're reading a story that's over a year old.
I did make the mistake...
Yeah, you made the mistake, all right. You read the story. Dickman's an idiot. Everybody knows that.
See, Phil, if you read a story that's a year old about Dumb and Dumber, that makes you dumb. You're so dumb.
You can't even read a story about a dumber.
Yes, because of the dumbness that you are.
Yeah, I got to agree with that.
Well, all right, Mr. I'm going to try to take Mr. Henry's side here, okay?
Go ahead, Robert.
I think Mr. Henry is not dumb. He's dumb enough to rely on Dickman, but even Dickman knows nobody should be that dumb, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
And yet, you gave him a story about Dumb and Dumber and make Mr. Henry dumb. You could.
Well, yeah, thanks a lot for the good effort, Robert, but what's happening here, I can see what's happening here, is that David and everybody else is attempting to, you know, they're attempting to twist this thing around.
No. You got the fresh meat, buddy, okay? I mean, you're telling me that this guy Danger's just in from the world and you want these two to go out on patrol tonight? No. You got the fresh meat.
What are you quoting Platoon for?
I don't know. It just felt like a good quote. But I'll tell you this much. If you're going to get on the air and start talking about this movie that's coming out called Dumb and Dumber, and guess what? That story's a year old, and the movie is now stillborn, and oh, yeah, Three Stooges has already been out, and the story you're reading says we're anticipating the movie. Phil, you're dumber than the movie Dumb and Dumber. That's what I'm trying to say. Phil Hendry, dumber than Dumb and Dumber.
Well, you can use it on the website.
And what has that got to do with Doug Danger?
Margaret just said something to you.
I don't care. I'm talking to you. What has that got to do with Doug Danger?
I think your position is now compromised in appraising whether Doug Danger is worthy of the show. Here's a guy that comes on. He's gay. He's gay. He's gay, 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 gay. He's gay until the gay cows come home. He's got the gay thumb up. Everything's gay with him. Isn't there anything that isn't gay? Can't we live in a world where there's no, you know, gay? How about just homosexual? I would allow him back on the show if he would say, I'm a homosexual man and a homosexual journalist.
You what?
I'm just trying to change it up so the audience doesn't fall asleep with this guy.
I'm a homosexual man and a homosexual...
journalist.
It's not a bad thought.
No, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
What about I'm a sissy?
No. I'm not just for your kicks. I'm not going to take it the other way, okay?
Take it the other way?
What are you talking about? Gay sex?
What?
Yeah, you're sitting there. I'm not taking it the other way.
Oh, will you grow up? I'm talking about Danger and what he describes himself as or does not describe himself as. Doug Danger is a unique talent. He always has been. He always will be. He's going to stay on this show. I don't give a damn what anybody says. Be a smartass all you want.
No. Great speech. Hey, Daphne, what do you think? See, she loved it. So,
all right, thanks a lot, David.
Don't you hang up on me.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. So Doug Danger, homosexual man and homosexual journalist. That's going to be great. We'll be right back with more. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Truth.
Get a backstage
is
pass.
Our bitch.
And look
the
at all
Phil
these
Hendry
groovy
Show.
Things, man, that we've been doing. Yeah. All right. Back here with David G. Hall, Vice President of Syndication. So I hung up on you prematurely because you now feel that something I said on the air...
You can get to it any time today, Phil.
You know, don't get with the smart ass.
Well, you said that you wanted to tell me... Let me see what I said to him, ladies and gentlemen, was simply this. A few moments ago, I heard you allude to the fact that you cross-dressed. Now, I know you're a three-year-old kid.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
All right. But I don't know how that's going to play when it finally gets out into the advertising community. Now, Danger is a bridge to the LGBT, however you say it.
LGBT.
LB.
You know, you guys do that on purpose, you know that?
Wait a minute. I know how to do it. LGBT.
Yeah.
Okay, then do it.
What?
Do what Phil just said, Dickman. I want to know if you know how to do it. If you don't know how to do it, then I feel better.
LGB.
LGB and B. Boy, even I know it isn't that. It's LGBB. I don't know what it is.
LGBT.
Well, anyway, Danger is a guy that can, he can bridge that gap. He can bridge us to that community. Now, if he can cool that out, then we can probably... keep him, you know, on board, but we got to do something. Gay man. If he could just call himself an LGBT man, an LGBT...
See, you know how to do it.
Yeah, because I'm thinking about business. LGBT man and an LGBT journalist.
Get him on the phone, will you?
Who?
Doug Danger. Who do you think?
Yeah, get Danger on the phone, and then get on the line Harvey Weierman, because I need a legal opinion on this thing, okay? And I think, Phil, we may have a solution to some problems here because we've been hearing, you know, an awful lot from people in recent days about this, that, something else. You know, they got a pain in the rear end of this. They got a pain in the rear end of that. And I just want to make sure I know. Okay.
All right. I don't know what you just said. Hey, Doug?
Yeah, Doug Danger here. Hey, Doug, this is David G. Hall. How you been? Yeah, I'm fine. All right, come on. Don't be on. You know, don't have on. You still got. You frosted over that whole thing?
Yeah, no, I'm frosted over what I just heard on the radio about how you think I'm played out as a gay man, gay journalist. Let me tell you something, my man. I'm not calling myself a homosexual man, a homosexual journalist. I'm not asking you to. I'm asking you if you will consider you being a LBDB. Damn. LGBT. You want me to call myself an LGBT man, an LGBT journalist?
No, I don't want you to call yourself an LGBT man. I want you to say it in a fluid way.
That's what I mean, man. You want me to say it fluidly?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
I don't know, man. I don't think that has... Phil, what do you think?
I think it sounds very, very awkward. I don't think anybody says it that way.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Phil. Thanks for backing me up. Thank you for making this easier. I'm so grateful for you making it easier.
You know something? At least he's being honest, all right? He's being honest, and he's saying what I'm telling you, which is, to come out, I'm Doug Danger, an LGBT man, an LGBT... Oh, get out of here. But all I'm asking is that you try it. Look, Doug, we got a problem. And the problem starts with P and ends with L, and that stands for Henry.
What did he do?
He dressed up in a fur, in a mink, and in a fur. He dressed up like he's going out on the town when he was three. Lipstick and everything.
You got to... I'll see you guys on the other side, okay?
The other side of what? The gender line? Or...
Get out of here. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Dressed up like he was going out for the evening.
Phil Henry.